Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas for green living as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your hosts, Green Diva Meg and Green Dude Scott.
Yeah, see, I just can't get going without my crowd cheer. You know what I mean?
Should I cheer for you?
Yeah, would
Yay!
You? Yeah, thank you. It makes me feel so much better. I was like, oh my God, what? I can't go on without my crowd. Anyway, as you can hear, we have a special Green Diva guest co-host. That's like a mouthful. Barbara Taylor in the studio. Hi, Barb.
Hi. Well, I'm hoping if I do this a few times, I can get a cool caricature like you, Green Diva Meg.
Isn't she cute?
Yeah, that's very
cute. She's a little cuter than me, but that's okay.
No, you're very cute.
It's all right. We got Silent Jesse over here running the board.
Doing a good job.
Almost. And then you got me, Green Diva Meg. Well, we just had a fun time, you know, rocking out in the studio with Uncle Buggy.
Yeah. That's some music fun. I never heard of before.
Yeah, that's his thing. He really is good at turning you on to music you've never heard. Even if you think you've heard it, you usually haven't.
No, it was good.
I grew up with that, so, you know, he's kind of a music snob. And rightfully so, I'd say.
Yeah.
So we have a busy show. Yeah, Green Dude Scott is taken a day off, how dare he? But I think he's entirely entitled.
Yep.
Especially since we, you know, we all volunteer here, so he's been really wonderful. And
I thought I was getting paid for this.
Yeah, right? Uncle Buggy, nice try, pal. And we have Green Diva Lisa is traveling out there, but she checks in online. And I smell stink bug, man. Swear to God. Nobody kill a stink bug.
No.
Right?
Right.
Oh, my God. Maybe it's just Doug. Maybe he's just stinky.
I took eight of them out of here.
Yeah, no, eight. He took eight of them out gently. We didn't kill them. He put them in a styrofoam cup. Of course, you know, that could kill somebody, I suppose. Anyway, we have a very busy and fun show tonight. We're going to hear from Kimberly Phipps Nickel, who is our Green Diva correspondent from Reno, Nevada. But Kimberly, of course, travels around a lot. So, you know, last time she called us, I think, from Florida. We'll see where she is.
We don't know where she is tonight?
We don't know.
The
roaming Kimberly Phipps Nickel. Our guest is going to be Rodman Schley. And I said it, yay.
Rodman.
I was tormenting Rodman on Facebook and Twitter yesterday, calling him Rodney.
I know. Not a good way to treat your guest.
It must be horrible, right? You know, because Rodman is an unusual name, and we're all used to Rodney. And
yeah.
I recently worked with a guy named Rodney who I adore. So, you know, I have Rodney on the brain.
Well, it's going to be a good interview.
And he's got a television show, The Urban Conversion. And I'm really anxious to hear all about what's going on with the urban conversion, but I think it's essentially he and his wife. And he gives her an awful lot of credit, and I'm sure they're both really doing an amazing job. And I think they have kids,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, they're converting their urban lifestyle into a self-sustaining world.
And he's not a green dude to start with,
no.
right? That's the idea.
No, that is. And I like that.
Yeah.
And so he's learning, and we're all going to learn along with him. So,
yeah.
You know.
If he can do it. Anyone can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's a really upbeat, interesting guy.
And good.
I'm really looking forward to talking to him more. I just want to mention our online media partners because they've been doing such a wonderful job helping to share our podcast with the world. And it's been very exciting. We have eatdrinkbetter.com, feelgoodstyle.com, ecoseed.org, care2.com, and a couple of others coming online pretty soon. But these folks have been fantastic in working with us to get the word out. And so I'm hoping you all will check them out. You can find links to them on our blog. Oh, let me give that one while I'm at it. TheGreenDivas.com. And I have to say, you have to spell T-H-E, GreenDivas.com. And also, you know, our Facebook little fan base, a little Facebook family's growing.
Yeah, how many do you have right now?
Let me look. It's 15, 16. We lost one.
Well, we lost one in the past hour?
In the past hour, man.
Aww.
I always want to say, like, hey, and I'm sure it's not personal, but it's, you know, I like to take things personally from time to time.
We'll get them back.
Well, you know how people have to jump on and off and on and off if they get into that, you know, they get spammed,
Yeah, you wouldn't do that, though.
Oh, hell, heck no. Heck no. I'm not a spammer. But you know how people get, their accounts get hacked, right. And then they have to sign off, and they lose all of their contacts and their favorite things.
We'll get more after tonight.
Yeah, rock out. People find us on Facebook. Just punch in, search Green Divas Radio Show. You know, there are a lot of Green Divas popping up.
Yeah, oh, other Green Divas?
Other Green Divas. I have to say, I do own the trademark.
Yeah.
But, I'm kind of
there's a
funny.
Jewelry.
I know, yeah. And they're very, it's very nice jewelry, as a matter of fact. But, I don't mind sharing.
No.
I just, there's a couple that are kind of copycatty-like. And
well, so. No one's like Green Diva Meg.
Well, you know, yeah. We'd like to think we're kind of cool and different, but whatever. It's kind of flattering that there's lots of Green
That's
Divas
true.
Popping up. So we had those green poles, and I meant to look them up, and I didn't. But they, you know, the results were just rocking, and they've just been building up and building up. Oh, Green Diva Lisa's calling in.
Wow.
She's screwing up my schedule. Yeah, did you see how much I have in this outline? But we're so thrilled she's calling.
That's great.
I'm not complaining. Did you hear
hey,
me?
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Yes, I am calling from beautiful Austin, Texas.
Aw. Well, you know, it's probably as warm and almost nice now here as it is down in Austin.
Oh, these last 2 days have been perfect. The humidity's been down. And
really? Because it's like 80% humidity here.
Yeah, it was hotter than Hades when I was first got down here. But we've had a reprieve. And
wait,
it's
well, you
quite
also
lovely.
Have fires, right?
We've had, yeah, as I mentioned, when I called last week, we had, and I don't know what the numbers are now, but we had over 1 million acres on fire.
That's
so
disturbing.
It's been pretty dicey, and what was unusual was that as I drove down here, all the rivers were overflowing from so much rain until I got to about the Texas border, and then there it went.
Wow.
And it got dry, but we're doing okay this minute.
All right.
So, and I, on Sunday, I've been shooting these webisodes for MSN, and I know that you're talking about conversion.
Urban conversion, yeah.
And I'm actually going to be interviewing somebody on Sunday. I'm doing a little video shoot with a woman who is called, her name is Cheryl Govia, I think is how she pronounces it, and she's called... She has a blog called Conscious Gardener.
Oh, nice.
And it's a great blog, but what, I mean, she and her family have really done huge things to get off the grid in, you know, a pleasant and beautiful and reviving manner. And so I'm going to be working on finding out more about that. I know that, you know, of course, they make their own compost and they have only mostly indigenous trees that require just a little bit of water, and their yard is completely organic, which has taken a number of years to get to. They have about, they've had chickens. They don't have chickens right now because their dog is not very friendly with chickens, but the dog's old, so they'll have chickens again when the time is right. But they do have rabbits, and they use the rabbit food for the compost.
Wait a minute. The dog's okay with the rabbits, but not the chicken?
Well, the rabbits, I imagine, are kept So they use the rabbit poo for composting, and the garden itself feeds the family all year long. The garden, their yard, and it is a suburban yard, is registered as a wildlife refuge, and I'm eager to find out. I'm eager to find out what that does for a person.
Yes,
you know,
that a tax
maybe
thing?
You know, I'm guessing that the concept is that it'll stay that way. They'll be able to keep it protected.
One of my favorite books that I got to review a couple of years ago was called Food, Not Lawns. And it was this kind of funky, illustrated book, but it was really about how to convert your suburban lawn, all that wonderful, you know, chemical-fed lawn, into food. You know, growing.
And that's just what she's done. Cool. She's let her lawn die, and she's replacing everything with edible plants and other enriching choices.
Yeah, I just posted something in the last day or two about an edible yard program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, here in Austin, there's a store called The Daily Juice, and it's a raw food establishment, and they've got two or three locations here in Austin. And they actually asked people to in the neighborhood to go ahead and grow kale in their yard as a decorative plant and sell it to them. And they'll buy it and turn it into smoothies or something.
Yum. Yeah, we never did make those green drink smoothies with the kale that I was going to do, remember?
Right.
Was your cashew yogurt?
I just made it today. I've just got it in the where the pilot is in the oven, just keeping warm. So by tomorrow morning, I'll have the fresh yogurt. I hadn't had time to make it yet.
I shared my recipe with sister, and you made like a really nice tofu stroganoff. I want to officially thank you for. Delicious.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah.
What?
You got to get back up here. I need the food. I need the company, and you know we miss you.
I know. I have to, you know, find a way to beam me up, Megan.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're working feverishly on it, my friend, my sister.
Well, I have a great show. I miss y'all, and I look forward to being back in the studio as soon as possible.
All right, sis. Be good down there.
You bet. You take care.
Bye. Aw, that's nice. It's fun having, you know, having her do the show.
Yeah, she can't stay awake.
I just gotta, like, nail her down. But, you know, that requires money. Because, you know, the woman's gotta eat. Well, whatever. I keep trying to feed her, but you know what I mean.
The edible lawn.
Well, she was my original inspiration for kind of this green foodie lifestyle thing. So we have a lot of fun together cooking and sharing recipes and having fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. So I was just, I was going to talk about, before our Green Diva correspondent calls in, our little poll last week. Man, these things really rock out.
Right.
And like all week long, I get responses. And I got 66 votes, which is, you know, I think reasonably good. And it was, the question was, is the price of gas prompting you to consider buying a greener car?
And what were the results?
Well, most people went with Toyota Prius. The results were asking whether you would like a gas engine car, a clean diesel, a Toyota Prius, another manufacturer's hybrid, a plug-in like the Nissan Leaf or the Chevy Volt, or none of the above. And
right.
I was surprised how many people really wrote these long messages about, you know, in this economy, who can think about buying a car? You know,
very
blah,
passionate
blah, blah.
About it.
Very passionate about ditching the car altogether, which I would... It's, you know, it's a lofty goal.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But we got some really nice responses. A friend of ours who's down in Austin, Texas, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Julie Stevens?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Julie, now Sherrier, said she bought a Prius last December, traded in my huge Chrysler gas-guzzling crossover, and laugh every time I fill it up.
Wow.
Her new Prius. So, yeah, we really had some wonderful responses, and I wish I had time to address them all, but I think Kimberly's on the phone. All right. So much fodder and not enough time.
Not
man.
Enough time.
Never. It's good. Kimberly?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
We were trying to figure out where you might be this week.
I'm actually... in Reno, believe it or not, I'm so excited. I'm home for a few months, and it's wonderful. Although I will tell you, it has been very windy up here. We have what's called the Washoe Zephyr winds, which come off the backside of the Sierra Nevadas, and it's been so windy that even though the sun is out and the temperature's nice, it's kind of hard to work out in the garden right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty serious wind.
Well, we had like...
Yeah, we do. We do have lots of wind warnings. We actually, our ski resorts, which are still open for the conditions, are closed due to wind holds. So
didn't we have tornado wind warnings here today?
Yeah, let's...
New Jersey?
I can beat you, Kimberly, with the wind thing, because we had the tornado thing running right up alongside my little town.
Oh, my God.
It was unusual. Now, your phone keeps cutting out. Are you on a cell?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see. I am on the same phone that I called you from before.
All right.
If it's a challenge, let me know. I'd have to go over into another room, and somebody's giving a lesson over there right now. So
we just snag
the phone.
We just don't want to lose a word of your cool advice. So you're going to tell us about... the co-op, the farm food co-op thing that you were working on.
Yeah, so the last time we talked, the food co-op had just figured out what location they wanted to go to, and they needed to get support from their local community, because obviously bringing 50 regional farmers and ranchers food to the local community requires a lot of coordination and a nice distribution space to be able to pull that off. So 2 months ago, they started their fundraising effort. Now, co-ops are different than normal businesses. They're owned by membership or they're owned by the community, and so they can take low to no interest loans to get funding for a capital project instead of approaching a bank, because a lot of times banks won't fund non-traditional businesses. And in 2 months, they raised over $420,000.
Wow.
That seems like,
from their membership.
That seems like a lot of money.
It is a lot of money during, you know, a lot of people are talking about recession and downtimes, but there are people out there that no matter what level they're at, they want to know where their food comes from.
Well,
and they figure that it's an investment in their health and their community.
Well, that speaks to the slow money concept.
Right.
Exactly.
Have you heard about that at all, Kimberly?
I have. We've talked about it. It's interesting because after I leave, hang up from this call, I'm headed to an advisory council meeting at the co-op. And in that council, we've had conversations about slow money. Yeah.
Well, that's really taking hold. And they're having these entrepreneur showcases all over the country. I know they're having one in New York soon. And I actually applied, even though I'm not doing food necessarily. We're independent media. We talk about local economics. We talk about local issues. We love local food, and so we're hoping that maybe we'll get a little money. But I'm really impressed with that whole thing. And they must have something going on in your area.
I'm sure they do. We definitely have some really active slow food chapters here, which has certainly helped people buy into that local food concept. And the wonderful thing is a lot of our farms in this area are fifth and sixth generation. So granted, they're not necessarily as old as they are back east, but for a relatively young state that is kind of out in the Wild West and sort of dry, it's fantastic to be able to support these families and to keep this land producing wholesome local food for our community, which is growing. We're right next door to California, and so we do tend to see a lot of influx of folks coming into Nevada when financial times hit California. So it's really great to be able to feed as many people from local resources as possible, and we are really excited about this project. And it's been fun because listening to you recently and talking about urban conversion and, you know, eating from home and the green food lifestyle, this is exactly that kind of a project. We even have seedling sales twice a year to encourage people not just to buy our food from our farmers, but to grow your own wherever you can. Convert your yard, grow it on, you know, window sill boxes, whatever
right.
It is that you can do. So
yep. Now tell our listeners about the co-op, because it's not exactly a traditional food co-op, and tell people how they can find out about it.
Well, the Great Basin Community Food Co-op is, they are actually a specific business entity within the state of Nevada. Our founders helped create legislation that was passed a number of years ago here in the state. So they have a specific type of entity and a way they pay taxes, but that means that they're owned by their members. So our members pay $15 a year to, you know, essentially have a one-share ownership of the co-op. And we have a few thousand members now, actually. And so it's like a retail store, very much in the aspect of how it presents itself in this new location that we're designing is going to have retail and central food distribution and a deli. So it feels like a retail space when you're in there, But we have a whole back-of-the-house system that provides local food to restaurants, a lot of restaurants, and large special orders for groups and events. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that happens that is not what you see in the front-of-the-house retail experience. If you were to just kind of walk on by and go, ooh, great, nice, natural food store, and go in, you would have no idea all of the behind-the-scenes connection that they have with back-of-the-house ordering and restaurants, which is fantastic.
And how can people, is there a website? Or?
There is a website. It's www.greatbasinfood.coop, C-O-O-P. And you have to be a co-op to even use that type of website. It's great.
Oh, your call waiting is, I have to remind people to turn off the call waiting. I don't even know how to do it.
Oh, mine doesn't show that it's, I don't have any calls coming in.
So, well, maybe it's here, for heaven's sakes. I can't believe we have call waiting.
People calling us tonight.
Nobody loves me. Nobody's calling me.
Yeah, this is the homegrown thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right, it's great.
Do me a favor and repeat the website. I hate to make you do it, but it's good, you know, branding
anyway.
Yeah,
no problem. It's www.greatbasinfood.coop. C-O-O-P.
And what I think is great is people, if you're not in the Great Basin area or Reno area, you can still check it out and learn about it. Mm-hmm. And this is something we can bring to our own, you know, communities and co-ops.
That's a great idea.
I love
it. That's exactly what we would love to see, is we would love individual communities to take this up at whatever scale that their community can support.
And I know that if there isn't a slow money group or organization in Reno, you will kickstart it, because Kimberly's a go-getter.
Well, thanks, Meg. I really appreciate
it.
Thanks for having such a great forum for all of these fantastic divas all over the country to be able to call in and talk about what's bubbling in their area.
Well, really,
there's a lot of great things happening around.
There are, and I just wish I had more time for everybody, but I really appreciate your calling in, and we'll hear from you again in another few weeks, and you can always email us or you send information on Facebook, and we can share it with everybody or post it on our blog, you know, in the meantime.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, and I look forward to talking to you next time.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Aw. She is. She's a real dynamo. She's all over the place.
She's not slow.
And she's, I think she's LEED certified. I don't have her bio in front of me, but she's really busy in helping create stronger building environment, you know, healthier environments for folks in buildings and homes. And
yeah, she is LEED certified.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always glad when I can verify something I've just said.
Correctamundo.
I like Barbara. She's on the ball already. So, anyway, we could play some music. I have a couple of tunes lined up that were sort of my theme for the day had to do with weather. No kidding. Because when I did the music, you know, we were on, like, tornado watch.
Yeah. I'll be anxious to hear it.
It seemed like the right thing at the time. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Like the music? You're listening to a podcast. You won't be able to hear it.
Sorry.
To hear Green Diva tunes, you have to listen every Thursday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now more from Green Diva Meg and Green Dude Scott.
Yeah, we have Green Diva Meg and
Green Diva Barb.
Yeah, Green Diva Barb. I love it. Yeah, that was fun. And, you know, the people who listen on podcasts don't get to hear the music, so I hate to talk too much about it, but mm-hmm. I did pick a couple of songs that were weather-related. And that last one, Emmylou Harris and Mark Knopfler, Do Why Worry Now? And the reason I picked that is because it says there is sunshine after rain.
Right. And indeed.
And it's, you
know, we do have it.
So true. And it's beautiful now. But at the time I was picking the music, I was hoping, you know, will there be sunshine? Because they're talking tornado here.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we have so much stuff to talk about. You had some stuff you wanted to mention, Barb.
Well, I saw some interesting news articles lately. One was, actually, I saw it on Tree Hugger, so we'll give a little plug for Tree Hugger, who I know is going to be a guest.
Yeah, yeah, Graham Hill.
Graham Hill from Tree Hugger is coming in a couple weeks. But there was an interesting article that companies are giving bonuses to workers who recycle. But what they have to do is they actually have to track it. So, again, it's kind of a privacy, you know, privacy trade-off. But they track how much you recycle and how often you switch off the lights. So I guess what they do is the whole company will say, we have this one big initiative that we're going to reduce our carbon footprint by 30% by 2015. Mm-hmm. So then they bring it down to the individual level to see how much each person might contribute. And it gets very competitive from what I hear.
Well, that sounds like a really interesting way to incent people.
Yeah. And they give bonuses based on the winning teams or the winning individuals.
Well, if the Green Divas ever pay anybody, I'll implement a plan like that.
Yeah. And I just thought it was interesting, too, because a lot of times people are like, well, if I recycle, you know, I'm just one person, what can I do? But I think it's interesting to see it in this context, because then you see how it really
builds.
Adds up, you know, at the corporate level.
Yeah. Oh, good. That was a good one.
And then the other one, I think I've mentioned, I'm an avid cyclist, and I cycle for fitness. But and next month is Bike to Work Month.
Oh, is
also,
it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. But I saw an interesting article that Trek is actually implementing a carbon fiber recycling program, and they are recycling parts that are kind of hard to... You know, the disposable stuff, some scraps and warranty frames that have been broken, and they're recycling like 2 tons of scrap each month.
Wow.
So
I hadn't thought about how much.
And it's a process that's a little bit harder. So that they just finished like a 3-month trial, and it's being pretty successful. So it's pretty neat because you think of like, you know, I don't know whatever happened to my old Schwinn with the banana seed in the basket.
Sparkly banana seed thing.
Yeah, you probably ended up in some kind of landfill.
But, you know, there was a company, and I don't remember the name now, but we met them in Brooklyn when we were doing one of these green festivals. And
they
made really interesting jewelry out of bicycle parts.
Oh, that's
well,
good,
too. It wasn't just jewelry, but I think they made, like, picture frames and various kind of accessory things out of bicycle parts. And it was and what they did was they had a bicycle shop, and this was part of what they did to help recycle parts. I wish I could remember the name. Brain dead. Oh,
very
well.
Cool.
And that was back in, you know, way back in 2007.
Right. Yeah, these parts are being recycled into, like, automotive parts and medical things and aerospace and... You know, not as fun as jewelry, but helpful.
Still usable.
So that's good. Hey, I was just going to say, I've used, before I knew about this, I had a bike to give away and I used FreeCycle.
Yeah.
So that's also a good way to, you know, keep things in use and not
Free
end up in a landfill.
FreeCycle still works,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they do.
I just want to mention real quick that we had one of our listeners chime in on the Facebook page.
Oh.
And I love mentioning listeners. It makes me... feel good that somebody's listening.
That's great.
But Bridget Green is listening from Highland Lakes, Jerseyland, she said. Thank you, Bridget, for chiming in. I appreciate it. Little bit of love.
And tell her to get another pal to join your Facebook page to make up for the one we lost.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we lost one. I don't know what happens. I want to, like, you know, go comb through and figure out who's gone as if I know, you know, who's there in the first place.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Now, I had printed out something, because along the lines of FreeCycle, I had learned about something called Digger's List.
What's that?
And that is all about home improvement projects and sharing. You know how, like, you know, you buy, you know, you always buy a little bit more, end up with a little bit more tile than you need,
right,
or flooring than you need. And then you got, like, this odd amount you can't do anything particular with.
Mm-hmm.
So this place is a place you can take it and instead of the landfill, you know, instead of chucking it, which people, you know, what are you going to do with it?
Right.
Anyway, Digger's List is...
So what do they do with it?
Well, they help find homes for it. I'm reading here now. I obviously didn't retain all the information because I had this ready like 2 weeks ago. Oh, my God. They say... estimated 160 million tons of construction and building materials end up in landfills. 44% is created by home renovation projects. Digger's List, you know, they got sinks, countertops, bathroom sets, tile, all kinds of stuff.
Can people pay for it? Do they get it for free?
I'm trying to figure out. Well, you got to go to Digger's List.com. I definitely want to talk to them about this because I think it's really a great idea. There's, and along with that, there's that Habitat store. Don't we have one in Denville or around here somewhere?
We might, yeah.
Habitat for Humanity, where people donate things like this, yeah. And then the money goes to Habitat for Humanity, obviously.
And you can get some cool stuff at these places, I bet.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm like combing through this email. It seemed to make sense to me before. It says something that since then it has grown to include 43 cities, and the site has plans nationwide in the coming months. Digger's List has more than 70 specific categories that divide home improvement projects into easily viewed sections. And, you know, I guess you buy the stuff, but I'm obviously it's probably for a good price.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's great. Okay, enough fumbling around on that one for me. We have Rodman on the phone. Rodman!
Yay!
Rodman Schley. I'm so proud of myself for saying it right.
I'm sure he's happy too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm thrilled.
I'm really embarrassed about abusing you yesterday as Rodney. Sorry.
You know, that's okay.
It must happen.
I get abused often.
Yeah, it must happen. I don't know any Rodmans. It's a kind of unusual name.
It is unusual, I know.
All right, well, I guess I won't pester you to, like, where'd that come from kind of thing, but if it's an easy story, tell me.
I couldn't tell you. I don't have a story behind it.
Alright. Well, you do have a story about urban conversion, your urban conversion. You're in your families, and you're going to be sharing it with the world pretty soon.
Absolutely. We're so excited about it. I mean, I'm just thrilled to death to be just part of such a tremendous movement in general, as what's happening, you know, with our environmental movement. It's just fantastic.
Well, it is pretty exciting, and folks like you are making it kind of fun.
Well, fun, I don't know. I'm kind of the village idiot, so. But that's okay. I don't mind if people can look at me and laugh at me learning, then and then educate also. I think it's a great thing, a great position to be in.
Well, yeah. Okay, now tell us about the show and what we can look forward to.
Well, the show, you know, we kind of call it Urban Homesteading for Dummies. And in this case, I am fortunate enough to be the dummy. And the show kind of stemmed from, really, actually my wife. My wife, she is a saint. I mean, my wife is always looking to do the right thing. She's a great advocate for the environment. And unfortunately for me, I have a great big carbon footprint. And I kind of got an ultimatum from my wife and my kids to make some changes to my lifestyle and to be a little bit more environmentally friendly. And they really forced me to kind of take a good, hard look at how I'm living my life right now and looking at the things that I could do to change my lifestyle. And the urban conversion was born.
So your idea for the show then?
Yeah, it was my idea. Well, awesome. It was actually, you know, my idea, but it stemmed from, like I said, it stemmed from my wife, who really, really cares about the environment, and now I do. I see so clearly now a lot of the things that I did not see clearly before when it comes to
environmental. You've had an eco-awakening, man.
Yes, exactly. So the show's about putting me in situations that maybe your ordinary guy in the suit wouldn't be doing, and to learn how to be more environmentally friendly, to be more aware of what he or she is doing to their environment.
And where are you located?
We're in Denver, Colorado.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah, and Denver's fantastic. Just the city of Denver, the people here are just great advocates for environmental issues, and everybody is really working hard to do the right thing when it comes to taking care of our planet. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I saw that there was some event in Denver in the last week, or I guess probably Earth Day, and you were out doing some filming.
Yeah, we had a good chance to speak with some of the advocates in town. And again, every time I go out, you know, I'm so fortunate to be able to go talk to so many just tremendous people. We went to the Santa Barbara Earth Day event, which was fantastic, and I'm just taken back by how incredible these people are that are really working hard to make a difference. I'm telling you, it's just amazing to me.
But you're one of them now. You're one of us. You're one of us.
I am. I know. It's just. But still, I'm humbled. I mean, absolutely. I get in a room with these people, and I feel like, I feel like I am one. But then I feel like, you know, I'm the guy who's trying to be one of them.
So. What was like the most challenging experience you've had so far?
Oh, I'd say milking a goat.
For various reasons, I'm sure.
I don't know if you've ever milked a goat before, but our pilot episode of the show, we had this tremendous advocate. Matter of fact, it's the gal who just wrote The Complete Idiot's Guide to Urban Homesteading, which I think is coming out in June. But her name is Sundari Kraft, and she brought me in, and she's got this fantastic urban homestead right on a city lot here in Denver.
Nice.
And she brought me in. She's got chickens, she's got goats, and you know, she's working with CSAs, and I'm telling you, she took me, sat me down to milk this goat, and it ain't easy. It ain't easy.
That had to be a comical segment right there.
Yeah, it was comical. I felt it was comical. I thought, oh my God. I mean, who put me with a goat? And it, like I said, it's harder than it looks. You think you would just sit there, reach under that goat, and just start, you know, just pulling on the teeth.
Yeah, and
not so easy.
Okay, tell me why it's not easy.
Well, you got to roll. It's this finger roll thing that they do. The milk, you know, evidently the goat wasn't comfortable with me, so it wasn't dropping its milk.
Right, right.
She had me singing to the goat to try to make it feel better.
Oh my God, that's hilarious! Is that all on the segment?
It's all on the segment.
He knew you were a suit.
But what did you sing?
I sang Secret Lover, but you know, well, I just don't know a lot of good soft tunes like that. So I don't know. It's the first thing that came to mind.
That is funny. Now, did she get nippy with you or kick you or anything?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know much about milking goats, but they take
nothing.
These goats, and when they put them in these, they put them in these contraptions where they're tying their legs to these back posts, and
aww.
You know, they've got their heads in this bucket of food, and so I don't know. The goat, it seemed like the goat just didn't have much of a choice but to let me milk it.
I can't wait to. Is this available online? Can I see this yet?
You know, I think the online clip is available. Go to our website, theurbanconversion.com.
And that's T-H-E, right?
T-H-E, urbanconversion.com. And we've just put up a brand new website. So there might be a few little kinks in it, but, you know, for people that haven't seen it, it's just a fantastic site. And I know you and I have spoken about this site
yeah.
a little bit, but we've got just...
I liked your old site. I thought your old site was great. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, the old site was cool. But you know what? The cool thing about the new site is the old site was just one of those sites where you can go to and you can see videos, you can get information. But this new site is going to be so interactive. We're putting together this group of just leaders from all over the globe right now who are really making a difference to our environment, and people who are blogging and vlogging and doing radio segments like you do. And, I know that you're going to be a part of the contributors.
I'm really honored. I saw some of the people you had there. I said, does he really know who I am? I mean, come on. What is he thinking?
No, are you kidding me? You're going to fit right in. You're perfect. I mean, it's just the list of leaders that we're bringing in is amazing.
It is.
And I can't tell you how excited I am to have everybody who's going to be contributing, giving ideas, collaborating, to teach me, and then just to educate, you know, just everybody who wants to learn how to kind of be green, be more environmentally friendly. I couldn't be more excited about that site.
When is the show going to air?
Well, we're working with two networks right now. I know I can't give their names.
Okay.
There's two, and both of them are great networks. And right now in the process, we are pretty far along, actually. So we are hoping that we will know exactly which network we're going to land on within the next month.
So people have to get to theurbanconversion.com to probably get the latest news, or find you on Facebook.
Exactly. They can find us on Facebook, and we're under The Urban Conversion on Facebook. And we've also got, we release all of our videos YouTube also. So if they go to YouTube / The Urban Conversion, they can see, I think we have maybe 19 or 20 uploads.
Including the goat episode?
The goat episode is in there. I think we have the 3-minute sizzle in there, but not the full 20-minute pilot. But if they see the 3-minute sizzle, you know, I'm trying to remember if they have the goat. But I don't know why you wouldn't put the goat piece.
Sounds like
sizzle.
Perfect. Sizzle. Talk about sizzle.
Exactly.
Rodman with the goat. Singing. Wait, yes. Rodman singing to the goat. Yeah,
singing to the goat.
That's got to be good. Now, so in general, are we going to see you and your wife and your family doing some changes around your house?
Absolutely. You know, what we're looking at doing, the whole idea of the show is to go out and, of course, put me in these extreme situations, kind of the, you know,
nice.
The all the way green situations, and then to have a takeaway as far as, okay, that's maybe a little extreme, but what can I do in my life that everybody can do in their lives to make little changes? And so as we're going, there will be the show where you're going in and learning, and then when we come back, it will be the implementation into our household.
Right.
And we're already starting to do a few things. My wife is chomping at the bit. She's got a new beehive sitting in our backyard.
Really?
Wow. She's dying to populate, so.
Wow. How big is your property, your yard?
You know, we're on about 6,000 square feet, which is pretty small. It's kind of like your city, your city lot. But we've got, we had to go around and get our neighbors to sign off on the bees. And they've all been pretty supportive, of course. And we've got a few that have been a little worried.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, the bee, we've got a lot of problems with our bees right now. And anything we can do to help our bee population
is
a good positive thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that whole colony collapse disorder thing, we really need to keep talking about that and learning.
Absolutely.
Now, are you going to have chickens?
You know, I cannot have chickens where I'm at right now. I have got a chicken coop sitting in the back of my office that I built. I was all excited to get chickens, and they won't let me have them at my house. So we are actually a part of the show. Eventually will be to build kind of your perfect urban homestead.
Wow.
And we've kind of partnered up with one of the largest green house builders in the United States who would like to come in and actually use this as a test to actually plan and execute basically the ideal urban homestead in a city setting.
Wow.
And when we get to that point and get down the road, I definitely want chickens.
Yeah, I've got this like chicken, you know, backyard chicken fantasy. And I had interviewed the guy who wrote Backyard Chickens for Dummies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, or no, for Idiots. It was The Idiot's Guide to Backyard Chickens. And I said, I have chicken envy. I have chicken envy. I have friends that have chickens. And
don't you want the goat now?
I don't know about the goat.
Yeah, I kind of want the goat, but only if Rodman will come sing to it, you know.
Oh, I might.
But,
well,
you know.
No, chickens are great.
You guys are obviously composting.
We definitely compost. And, you know, we're actually having, in a couple weeks, we're having a nice compost party in our neighborhood.
Wow.
Yeah, inviting our neighbors over. We've got this great gal here in the area who does teaching on composting and zero waste. And just things like this are so, I can't believe that everybody's not doing this.
Well, I think it's surprising how it is easy to do composting once you get into it, but it seems a little mysterious and like a chemistry experiment when you start reading about, like, you have to have a certain percentage of brown stuff, a certain percentage of nitrogen, and you're like, whoa, worms,
right,
what?
Right, right.
But, yeah, we've gotten into it, and what I always say to people is even if you live in an apartment, that you probably have a neighbor or a community garden that would love to have your mm-hmm. compost, and it reduces garbage waste and output from a kitchen tremendously.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we've watched our waste from when we kind of started making changes to where it's at now, and I've always been kind of just, aside from just even the composting, I'm just dumbfounded when I really look at how much even packaging that we have with our products and the shipping of where things come from. If you just really look at how wasteful we are, it just blows me away.
It's pretty painful, actually.
It is painful.
Rodale put out a challenge to a bunch of bloggers to do plastic-free February.
Uh-huh.
And cool. I know that, you know, that there it was pretty stringent rules about not bringing in any new plastic mm-hmm. and, you know, a couple of other things. And I thought, oh, you know, I can do this. I'm really savvy with my plastic. I use glass containers, blah, blah, blah. Recycled this. I always use my canvas bags shopping. I failed so miserably. And it was such a painful month for me because I was blogging about all my failures. And I realized that the real goal was for us to realize and be aware
right.
that even if we think we know
right.
how much plastic, and I think that, you know, the truth is, in the end, we actually interviewed Jurjan Kamp from Ode Magazine, who I love because Ode Magazine is all about solutions and positive.
Mm-hmm.
But his take was, I think we need to look at positive responsible ways of using plastic as a resource.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Recycling it at every place we can.
Yeah.
Creating bioplastic and whatnot. But that's just one of those things that awareness, and it's painful when you first have the awareness.
Well, and it doesn't, you know, the whole thing, too, is I think people think that they have to make great sacrifices to be environmentally friendly. And the truth of it is, you know, I remember watching this show on Planet Green where this couple, I think they were in Britain or somewhere, they just eliminated plastics out of their life for, I think, a year. And, you know, by the end of the show, they were so miserable. You thought these two were going to divorce and, you know, put the kids in a home. And I'm thinking, you know what? Going green, it doesn't have to be that painful. There's so many cool technologies, and recycling is so incredible. Everything that's going on right now makes it so easy to do these things where it's not, you don't have to sacrifice
well,
anymore.
Well, that's the whole Green Diva message, is that it can be done, you know, what we call low stress and certainly guilt-free, because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, the polar bears are dying and it's your fault. And we're just not into that type of message, because I really think that once you get into it and you realize, oh my God, this is easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the time it's economical, common sense.
Yeah, make a few changes.
And fun, you know.
Absolutely.
Just get a little creative from time to time.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, and we're going to keep in touch and have you back on as things progress with your show. I know you'll be very busy, but
we can't wait to see it air.
Oh, I can't wait to get it on the air. We're just having such a good time, you know, with the project in general. It's just such a fun, cool project. I just can't tell you how happy we are to be working on such a neat project.
Well, I'm really glad you're doing it, because I think it's going to be very educational and entertaining. Rodman is fun. And the site, again, for people to find out more is theurbanconversion.com. Rodman Schley. I got
That's
it right again.
You nailed it.
I nailed it, baby. But I can't sing to goats, so, you know, I'm working on it.
You'll work on that. We'll get you there.
Thanks for taking the time to call in, Rodman.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, girls. Keep up the good work.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I can't wait to see the show.
I know.
I've seen little clips, but I don't remember the goat singing bit. I got to go find that, because that sounds really fun and silly.
And if he can do it, then anyone can.
Well, really, you know? Honestly. And I'm sure he's selling himself short.
Oh, I'm sure.
But we tend to do that from time to time. And a little humility goes a long way. He's a very charming personality. And looking forward to it.
Indeed.
Inspiring. I want someone to come out and build me, you know, an urban conversion, you know, module.
It'd be great.
Yeah? I'm working on it, too. What are you going to do? So, anyway.
Boy, time flies.
Doesn't it, though? So, are you hooked up to the slow food people here in northern Jersey at all? Have you?
I've seen the websites a little bit, yeah.
There's an event this weekend I'm going to go to.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, our slow food here in northern New Jersey has an annual meeting and event.
Mm.
And I'm going to go. It's on Sunday. Where the heck is it? It's not on this thing. But it's in Mendham. In Mendham. Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't have it on the sheet here. But I'm going to go, and I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to report back in next week with all the details.
Yeah.
But they have a picnic. They have all kinds of, you know, local farmers there with goods, but they have people talking. And I'm really curious, because farm bill, have you followed that at all?
I haven't missed that.
Oh my God, the farm bill is like this just behemoth nightmare bill that's been political football. And anyway, it's important. It's important to learn about, and it's overwhelmingly complicated, it seems. So I'm looking forward to learning. They're going to do a little talk on – Jim Walsh is going to do a talk on the 2012. Comes around every 5 years.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's all about subsidizing these giant industrial farmers and, you know, maybe not paying attention as much as it needs to the smaller regional farms.
Mm-hmm.
So
sounds good. That might be good for Sunday.
Learn more about how we can get our say in the 2012 Farm Bill. But they have a CSA, someone talking about CSA, someone from right up here, Genesis Farm. So anyway, I'm sure that there are other slow food groups that have these events, but this is our slow food.
Makes a difference.
And it's at the Mendham. I can't remember. It's the Mendham. Oh, I'm such an idiot, but I will post it.
Post it on Facebook.
I will post it on Facebook like a good girl, and I'll report in next week about how it is.
Good.
Because there'll be lots of things to report in. So I think we've burned up another hour. Pretty good. Barb,
this was fun.
You're an awesome Green Diva. Thank you for co-hosting.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
very fun.
This was fun. A very informative and entertaining show.
I learned a lot.
Well, everyone, I hope you have a great green week. Tune in next week. And in the meantime, I just want to say real quick what we have next week. Susan Reed, who's the author of Energy Wise Landscape Design.
Mm.
I'm curious to learn. I want to talk to her about the whole food, not lawns thing.
Right.
But, you know, check us out on Facebook. Tell your friends. And have a great green week.
Yay.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Hour. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit thegreendivas.com.